Paranormal Thoughts podcast listeners, and welcome to the offerings. My presence as I come before you today is of no such importance. I am just a conduit, a front for something much greater. The purpose of these anonymous communions is for you to relinquish your true sinister accounts, to make an offering.
I heard someone mumble my name. It was so eerie.
And as it's getting closer to the back of our tent, everything around us just seemed to go silent.
You know, we never found out what the banging was. You know, was it someone trying to tell me we needed to look up in the crawl space?
Subscribe to the offerings wherever you get your podcasts. It's coming. Let it in. Record your sinister accounts. Make an offering.
Hey guys, and welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast, and as always, thanks for joining me. In this episode, we're doing Listener Paranormal Experiences Part 3. Just before we get into the episode though, I just want to say if you enjoyed this episode or any of our previous episodes of Paranormal Thoughts, please make sure you subscribe. You can also leave us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you use. That helps us out massively. You can check out our socials. We're on Facebook and Instagram. And just on that as well, I've just launched a private Facebook group for listeners of Paranormal Thoughts. I won't go into too much detail sort of around the reasons for starting that, but I feel like it's something that could be really helpful for you guys if you want to share some thoughts, have a discussion about your own experiences or other people's experiences in a safe and non-judgmental space. So you can find the link to the Facebook group in the podcast description, or you can just jump onto Facebook and type in Paranormal Thoughts Podcast Group and you can add yourself into that there. So yes, today we are speaking to some listeners of the podcast. This is always a fun thing to do. You guys reach out to me a fair bit telling your stories or sharing images or videos with me to get my opinions on whatever it is that you are curious about. And every now and again, some of you get in contact with me and I think it's worth having a discussion about this, you know, to share your experience with others because it can massively help, but it's also just very interesting. And I think you guys listening get a lot out of it. The first listener I'm going to speak to is Kelly, and she is from Brisbane, Australia, which is also my home city as well. Kelly is a nurse, and she reached out telling me a little bit about her paranormal experiences, I suppose. She has had a lot of hauntings all throughout her life, to the point where it almost sounds like there's something following her, even though throughout all these different locations that she ends up, the activity is different, but just the fact of, I don't know, there does seem to be maybe more going on. Like, as I said, she could be being followed, or maybe she's just very open to this phenomena and she attracts it, I suppose. I just want to mention one thing because I feel like international listeners aren't going to understand this one phrase that Kelly states. So Brisbane is located in the state of Queensland. And at one point, Kelly mentions a Queenslander. And typically that's what people from Queensland are called. But in this case, she's actually referring to a house. And a certain type of house built specifically in Queensland is called a Queenslander. And what that means is it's a wood house on stilts, pretty much. Doesn't really add too much to the story, but I just realized when I listened back while editing this chat, she mentioned it and I went, a lot of people aren't going to understand that. So I thought I would give some context to that. Thanks so much to Kelly for reaching out and let's chat to her now. I'm really curious to hear about some of your experiences. You can kind of start wherever you like or, you know, and just we'll discuss them really. So
yeah, absolutely. I guess I've always kind of experienced stuff ever since I was I would say 3 years old. The very first experience I remember, it's a long story, but in Sunnybank, my great-grandmother and my great-grandfather had built their house and it was a big Queenslander. And I don't know if you've heard of Benoon train station at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just across from there. So back in the war days, you know, my great-grandmother was, living on her own, and my great-grandfather was out in the war, and he wasn't there, obviously, a lot of the time. And my great-grandmother, I found out as I got older that she actually committed suicide because she had a lot of mental health stuff going on. And she actually committed suicide at the Benoon train station. So she actually jumped in front of a train, and the first attempt she failed, and she actually had lost her arm, which was really sad. And then the second attempt she succeeded. So we found that out as we got older. It was kept secret for a very long time. But that house still exists today, still there. My mother and my father, when I was born, moved in to that place. And they had put me in my own room in the big old Queenslander. It was quite scary at that time. I think I was only very young. And my mother and father, I recall, were in the next room. And I remember being in my crib, my cot, and I remember the room. It was nighttime. It was probably about, It's probably about 6 or 7 o'clock. And put me to bed. And I remember the room, and I had a big window in front of me. I remember that big window because my cot faced that window. This is creepy. And so I'm kind of just laying there, and, you know, I'm so young and I remember this, and that's what creeps me out. And the room started to become really windy, like all of a sudden, and I remember my windows were shut, like, or they may have just been slightly open. But the room became really windy. I had a bookshelf and all my kind of books, you know, child books, baby books and things, started to fall off on the ground. And I remember that. And I remember going, oh, my God, like, my room's so windy and, you know, it's, what's going on? All the books are falling off the shelf. And I'm kind of just, I remember kind of standing up in my crib, and I was, like, looking around. And right in front of me, I remember looking out the window, and I saw a figure, and it was a two-story house, so there could have been no one standing out there. And it was a female. I do recall it was a female, and it was white. It was just a white figure, but really couldn't distinguish facial features or anything like that. But it was a female, and she was white. And I remember just kind of screaming, just absolute terror, because I didn't know what it was. All I knew it was it looked like a person, and it was in the window looking in at me. And I just remember screaming. And that's all I remember. That's all I have memory of. And my mum and my dad came running in, and they remember me screaming, but they didn't know why. They had no idea. They just knew that the books had fallen down, and the room was kind of just this different energy in the room. As I got older, they didn't know why I was screaming, because I was only a baby. And they kind of questioned me as I got older, and they're like, Kelly, do you recall, like, being really young and you were screaming and in that house? And I go, yeah, I do remember. I saw a ghost. And they were, like, freaked out, because they had known the history of my great-grandmother. So that was kind of, they were like, wow, you know, they were blown away, because they were like, we remember you, like, absolutely in terror, just terror. And, that was kind of like my first experience that I ever had.
Wow. Can you even remember any previous memories in before that? Or do you think that was almost the very first memory you've ever had?
That's the very first memory of me as a kid, and my experience with the paranormal. Yeah. Yeah, I have no prior experience, like, memories of being a kid before that. Yeah. So that was traumatic, I think, and that's what ingrained in my brain, because it was so traumatic for me.
No, 100%. Like, even the way you're describing it, it's like, it doesn't sound like the mind of a 3-year-old, you know? It's like, it obviously has left such a impact, and it was so memorable.
Being a 3 or 4-year-old, you don't remember things, you know. I'm 38 now and you don't, you ask someone and you go, do you remember what you did at 3 and 4? And they're like, no, I don't remember. But that's it. That's the only thing I remember, because my mum and dad remember it too. And they were like, we didn't know what was going on. We thought there was someone in the room trying to take you, you know, because you were so terrified. Yeah. So they kind of confirmed that that did happen and that I did see something.
That's a pretty full on introduction to the paranormal, isn't it?
Yeah. Kind of, you know, followed me ever since. I've lived in multiple haunted houses. I don't know whether something has attached to me my whole life. I feel like I'm a sensitive in a lot of things. I pick up on things and I can read people very well. I think there's always been something with me, whether it's good or bad, I think. Yeah, there's been lots and lots of things that have happened since then as well. So
it is interesting whether or not things do attach and follow, or as you said, if you are more sensitive to things, you know, it could be that there's a lot of these spirits around, and because you are more in tune with all that, you know. So it's hard to say, but it's interesting that you do mention that you think there could be something, though. What do you think that is, potentially, if you feel like there has something that may be attached to you? Do you have any ideas? Or
if anything, I think it, look, it could be that I was really, really, really close to my grandmother and my grandfather, which was my great-mother's, great-great-grandmother's daughter, obviously. I was really close to them. They passed away on me very early as well. And I was about 10 when my grandma and granddad passed away. And I was heartbroken. I felt like I didn't get enough time with them. And I don't know whether they've always kind of been with me and guided me in my life and through my life, but I do feel that they are always with me. There's been lots of things that I've done that's blown me away in my life, and I just think, wow, they kind of there helping me, guiding me through. So sometimes I think it's them kind of with me. I don't think it's anything negative. I think anything, you know, even thinking back to when I was 3, maybe it was just her showing herself to me, you know, and nothing negative about it. It was just because I didn't understand and I was scared, you know.
Now, that makes total sense. I feel like that's probably the case a lot of the time too, and maybe the way that people respond is how, I don't know, maybe the confusion comes in, where maybe a lot of these spirits aren't actually malicious.
And exactly right.
But
exactly.
Of course, seeing a full body apparition at any age when you're not expecting it.
Yes.
It's very full on. I mean, I've never seen anything as solid as that, but even I know, even if you were looking for it, to actually then witness it, it would change kind of the whole belief system, or just reinforce it, really. But
yeah,
it's not a, it's very unusual. So anyone would really, probably have a pretty extreme reaction.
Yeah, exactly. And now, because I've gotten older, I'm like, well, maybe it was just her kind of saying, I'm here and I'm watching over you and I want to protect you. And could be, you know, it wasn't anything that it did to me that, you know, hurt me. It was just, I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. It was just like a visitation, really, just checking in.
Yeah, exactly. So
what would your next experience be then? Where we go from here?
The next experience, which was quite prevalent in my life, was when me and my husband, we had moved from, we actually ended up moving into that house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which was absolutely crazy because it's in my family. So we've all kind of, my sister's even moved in there, stuff happened to her. Me and my husband moved in there when we first met and we had a baby together. And we were in the same house, but we weren't there for long because every time I was in that house, I always did get freaked out because I knew what experience I had in there. So I was always, you know, very scared, but we got really cheap rent there. My uncle owns the house. So in times of need, when we needed to move somewhere, and that was the house we kind of went back to live in. And even in those times when, you know, we were living there, we lived there for about 6 months, stuff happened again, but not any visual stuff, but I heard things and I was like, there's definitely something here. Like 100% there's definitely something here. But we ended up moving from there to another house out in Bow Desert, and we just wanted a change in our life and we wanted to just get away for a bit. We ended up moving out there for about a year, and then from there we decided what we wanted to do because a lot of family weren't coming out to see us because it was so far away. So we're like, okay, so maybe we just go back and we kind of figure out what we want to do from there. So we ended up looking for a house in Springwood, Rochdale area. And we were quite rushing because I had actually been accepted into a diploma of beauty. So it was going to be in Brisbane that I was studying. So I was like, I want to be closer to that as well. So we're like, oh my God, we've got to be quite quick. We've got to find a place like quickly. But the other house was taken. I didn't want to go back to that house. So we're looking at somewhere around Rochdale. Anyway, we found this really cheap house, went and had the house inspection, walking around the house and kind of got a weird vibe. Like I was like, oh, it does look a bit dark and dingy and it's a bit not something I'd usually pick. But we were like, yep, okay. So we applied. And, yeah, we got accepted. So my husband's working and we're packing and we're moving everything. I was in the house alone and I'm unpacking stuff in the back room. So it was a three-bedroom house, big backyard, and I'm unpacking. And as I'm in, so this was early, it was probably like day three, I'm in the place. And I'm in there and I'm just, you know, sorting out where I was going to put my daughter. I just had a new baby at the time as well, so my other daughter, and there was three bedrooms, so I was going to have one of my daughters in each room, me and my husband in the other room. And as I'm unpacking, I'm in there and I just hear this, I got this sense and that feeling again that I got when I was three. It was the same feeling. And I was like, this room just is giving me the creeps and I don't know why, and I'm just kind of trying to ignore it. And it started to get windy again. It was that wind feeling, and I was like, oh no. I was like, what's happening? And something all of a sudden just whispered in my ear. It was like this really creepy, like, hush, like in my ear, and it was so loud. And from then I knew I fucked up. I ran out of the house petrified, like crying my eyes out. And I was like, oh no, what have I done? I've just signed 6 months and the house is haunted. I knew from then the house was haunted. And I called my husband. I said, we shouldn't have got this house. I knew from the start, should have taken those feelings into account. The house is haunted and I can't go back. And I was crying. I drove away and was crying. And then Dave, my husband, he's like, Kelly, you've got to go back and you've got to kind of face it. You know, you've got to stop running away from it. If it is something that's following us or if it is something there, you've just got to go back and face it. And I was like, okay. It was about 2 hours, 3 hours later, and I come back into the house and I'm just kind of in the lounge room and I'm like, whatever's here, just leave us alone. Please just don't do this to me. I've gone through this before. I don't want this. Get out, whatever you are. Kind of from there, it didn't go away. It got bad. It got really bad. So there was, again, kind of my fan in our room, so would turn off every night, and you had to actually press the button to turn it off. So that, I was just like, oh God, like it's happening, like definitely something's here. I'd always get this weird vibe that something was watching me when I was there, you know, on the weekends. I just didn't feel comfortable being there. I didn't end up putting my daughter in that room. It was a spare room, and I actually had my two daughters in the other room, because I was so scared of that room. And yeah, so my husband would say when he was alone there that he felt like something was watching him and he just never felt alone, like there was always just something there present. I tried to do some research on the house to see whether someone passed away or if something, yeah, happened there, but I couldn't find anything. The other part that happened when we were kind of about 3 months into living there, me and my husband were in the bathroom and I was doing my makeup and he was in the shower and we're just talking, and all of a sudden we hear this like massive big crash, like a boom, and it was the loudest thing you could ever have heard in your entire life. And I thought something had fallen and crashed in the house. It was so loud. And me and my husband, we both screamed. It was that loud. And I was like, oh my God, kids, like something's happened. Like it almost sounded like glass shattering in a way. And we ran out and there was just nothing. We couldn't find anything. And the kids didn't even hear it. It was only me and my husband that heard it, which was the weirdest thing, because my girls were like, we didn't hear anything. And I was like, how did you not hear that? Like, that was the loudest bang. And they were like, no. And that freaked us out as well. That was really something we could not explain.
No, that's really bizarre, isn't it? And I've heard of that before, hearing just a commotion where you can't find the source of it. And it's just like, what could even produce that? Something obviously really wanting you to know that it's there.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's so interesting too, as you said, when you went and looked at the house and you just had that feeling that, no, there's something not quite right here. And I feel like it's so easy to try to brush that stuff off. But I guess in your case, hey, it's like those senses, you know, yeah, it's pretty important sometimes to really lean into that. Especially if you are quite sensitive like yourself, you know, if people were maybe more oblivious to it and not in tune with that, maybe the activity isn't actually so present either. But
exactly.
Because I feel like with a lot of this stuff, right, it seems to be energy based. So if you are giving it the attention, then it does become stronger, or, you know, it will make itself more known, which, yeah, I feel like maybe in your case it was kind of like the perfect situation.
100%. It kind of knew, I think, from when I was unpacking in that room, that it knew I felt it there and it knew that I picked up on it. And from there it kind of was like, okay, yeah, well, it's, you know, I don't know how it works, but it's like I'm responding to it. Yeah, what exactly what you're saying. So
Did you ever hear anything else as well? I mean, hearing that massive crash of the glass breaking, and even hearing, you know, some sort of whisper, I mean, that's enough for like a lifetime really of experiences. But did anything else audible happen?
There was growling. So there was a shed kind of in the carport area, which was really creepy. I never went in there. My husband put like the mower and all gardening stuff in there. And I'd gone in there once just to grab something out of there really quickly, but I didn't like it in there. And you could kind of hear noises coming from under the ground, because there was this underground bit under there. And there was one time I did hear like some growling from there, and that freaked me. And I do recall Dave even telling me that he heard the same thing as well. So that was kind of the only other audible stuff that we heard. The growling was terrifying. Yeah, we heard it would just be light, but it would be like maybe a groan or a growl, which was really scary.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds pretty negative. I mean, any sort of noise like that.
I thought, yeah, there's maybe something a bit more darker here. The very last night, because we were only going to be there for 6 months, we were like, no, we're not being here. We can't do any longer here. And we had realised prior to us that the tenants before us had been only there for 6 months as well, and obviously for the same reasons. But for the very last night that we were moving out, now this is going to blow you, this what happened, because it knew that we were moving. So we're packing up. We've actually been, we got approved for another house. So we're like, thank the Lord, we're out, we're going. Dave's kind of packing up in the room and I'm packing, and we've got all our boxes ready and we're sleeping in there for that very last night, and the truck's picking up everything to that next morning. My fan turns off again, and this is probably about 1:30 in the morning. My fan turns off again on its own. Now we had the room, it's hard to explain, but our room kind of faced the toilet, but it was ages away. So there was a good distance from the toilet to our room, but we could see the toilet from our room. And the door was open, and all of a sudden my fan turns up, wakes me up. And so I'm awake and I'm laying there, I'm like freaking out because I'm like, something's going to happen. I can just feel it. Something's going to happen. About 10 minutes later, the air freshener in the toilet comes, like someone pegged it and made and smashed it into our room and made a huge dent in the wall. It was pegged. And me and my husband woke up and we were like, nah, like we're out. Like I've got goosebumps. Like it was so scary. And we both were like, oh my God, like it's pissed off. It knows we're leaving and it's pissed. And or whether it wanted our attention, I don't know, but we didn't end up sleeping. We got up and we were just like stayed up the rest of the night because we were just so freaked out. It left a dent in the wall. It was that hard thrown, yeah. So that was kind of, yeah, something that I can't explain.
No. At all. And fortunate that you were getting out of there, obviously, because I guess up to that point, everything was kind of audible or, you know, there wasn't, you know, nothing was manipulated or, you know, thrown or anything like that. But I think as soon as that sort of activity happens where whatever this is has ability to move things, you know, even if it's like playful in a sense, like I couldn't think of anything worse than like something moving your keys, say every night, and you're not being able to find it. But the idea of something, I mean, to throw something like that, that's, I feel like there's only really one reason for that, right? It's angry to throw something. It's definitely letting you know that, well, I don't know, maybe it really wanted you gone, or I don't know. Maybe it was probably annoyed too that it being a rental, it's gone through this process already. It's like you're leaving, new people are coming in. Like that's probably not something it wants either, you know. The whole process is starting again. But no, that is, yeah, that's very frightening, obviously.
So that 6 months of our lives was pretty hectic. You know, I'm a nurse, as you know, as well. So there's been a lot of things. Like I've gone into hospitals and things have happened to me. There was, I guess, another time when I was doing my placement and a patient had just passed away. They obviously, you know, did what they had to do and removed the patient from the room. And I was doing the night shift that night. So I knew that that room was empty and they were getting ready to put another patient in there, and probably, you know, 3 hours passed and the call bell was going off. So we were like, what, why is that going off? There's no one in there. So that was also another thing that happened, where it wasn't just me, it was a whole lot of other people witnessing that. And it was like, well, obviously that patient's still there and calling for help maybe. Or something.
It's interesting to think about the amount of nurses and doctors or just any hospital staff who must experience some pretty bizarre things just being surrounded by, I mean, even just all the activity of people coming and going constantly, then add in, you know, people dying as well. And there's so much that goes on. I mean, you must all have a couple stories, you know, which, I don't know, it's such an interesting location.
Yep. Definitely. I'm so interested in the paranormal. I always used to say I want to be a paranormal investigator, like, because me and my sister, we're obsessed. Like we love listening to stories because it's happened to my sister a lot as well. And that's why we love listening to podcasts, because we don't essentially like to tell a lot of people about our experiences. And yeah, it's just really nice to share that with people that understand and don't think we're nuts.
No, 100%. Have you had like other nurses sort of tell you stories? Like, I feel like I can imagine like sitting like in the break room and kind of hearing, you know, swapping war stories in a sense.
Yeah. So during my placements, we would absolutely talk about things like that, where a nurse would tell me that her patient just passed, or as he was in that process of passing away, he was talking to his loved ones. He was saying, you know, I'm coming. I'm going to be there with you, you know, soon. And they would reach up in this, you know, reach up in the air, and they hadn't moved for days, and now they're moving, you know, and now they're kind of looking and they're talking, they're more alive than ever, and then they die. Like those last 10 minutes. It's freaky.
I was going to ask your stance on all of this, but it does sound like living in the house at Sunnybank, having experiences there, then to whatever was in that house at, you know, Springwood, Rochdale. I mean, that does sound, it's obviously different. I don't know. I think the word demonic is thrown around way too casually these days, and it could have just been a disgruntled
That's exactly right.
Too, you know?
That's exactly right. Exactly. It may have just wanted my attention because it knew that I knew, maybe, and maybe it had been ignored for so long that I knew it was there. But at that time, again, I was freaked out. I didn't want anything to do with it. I did get a bit of a bad vibe, but yeah, again, it could have just been, yeah, as you said, like disgruntled, and it just wanted my attention and or help. But it's so scary at the same time because it feels like it's threatening. It feels like it's not, you know, to whisper really creepily in your ear, that's freaky. Like that's scary. Yeah. So, but maybe that's their only way of getting your attention or.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And I guess it's the thing of, you could say, you know, they're dead, they can't hurt you, but if they're, you know, if this thing starts throwing things,
yeah,
you know,
it was pegged. Yeah. Like, and it wasn't just like, you know, thrown, it was pegged. It made a dent in the wall. It was that, like, hardly thrown. And I was just like, no, like, we're out. Like, this is scary.
No, at that point, I mean, you have to take some sort of action, don't you? Because, I mean, it's an unseen danger, which is just, it's just wild. Like, how many people can really say they've had to deal with anything like that? It'd be very slim, you know? And it's once again, very luckily you were on your way out, but.
I know. I was, thank the Lord, we're out.
I just hear, like, I remember like hearing stories about people who've just bought a house and it's like they can't get out, you know? It's, and then. This sort of activity happens.
And that's my biggest fear in life is actually buying a house. But then I was like, no, I'm going to listen to my gut feeling next time. I'm listening to that.
Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and share some of your experiences. I really enjoyed getting to hear just the amount of things that you've witnessed, and I definitely think you're going to experience a lot more throughout your lifetime.
Like, I feel like a huge weight's been lifted off me already. I feel great just talking about it. Yeah, you're doing a great thing. 100%. You're letting these people share these experiences that mean so much to them, and they don't feel like they're going crazy. Like, this, it's a great platform for people to come on and talk about them, because in society today, you can't just talk to, as you said, you can't just talk to anyone about this stuff. So, you know, people are going to come here if they're intrigued, and they're going to listen, and they're the ones that are going to generally believe it. So it's really good to have this type of platform for people. So yeah, you're doing an amazing thing, 100%.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My next guest is Nisha, and she is from the Blue Mountains in New South Wales, Australia. We do mention this in the chat, but, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before because I've spoken specifically about the Blue Mountains. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but the Blue Mountains is a hotspot for activity, from UFO sightings, abductions, to Yowies being the Australian Bigfoot, and a magnitude of different strange sightings. What you're about to hear is Nisha talking about experiencing some extraterrestrial beings, kind of unlike anything I have heard, at least firsthand anyway. So it was really interesting for me just because it was so different. And I really feel like Nisha shares a lot of the same beliefs or even just insights as I do. Like a lot of you listening as well, you know, I feel like if you are here listening, you probably do align with, you know, what I'm sort of on here talking about. Because, I feel like if you disagreed, you probably wouldn't listen. So it is always an interesting realization, I suppose, when a listener, I can hear myself in what they're saying. So that's really cool and, just really nice. But thank you so much to Nisha, and I hope you enjoy our chat.
I was raised in the Lower Mountains and in Sydney, back and forth, but mainly grew up in the Lower Blue Mountains. It's a beautiful, sunny area, has one of the best climates in the world, apparently, according to scientists. It's a gorgeous place, a great place in the 80s for kids to run around through the bush. And, you know, back then we used to go off the whole day, pack some milk arrowroots in our little knapsack and go off and not come home till sunset. And so we'd get up to all sorts of things, running through the bush, climbing cliffs, doing things we probably shouldn't do, seeing things, hearing things that were probably a little bit weird. Some kids would see things that seemed like, you know, tall, furry creatures and different things like that. I never saw anything like that. But you definitely, like when you're out in the bush, in the mountains, you feel presences and you feel like sometimes like you're being watched. Things like that would happen. So when I was a little girl, I don't know how this happened or when it started happening, but in those days, we didn't have so much to occupy us as kids do now, like screens constantly. And, you know, we do a lot of imagining and a lot of, kids really used to think deeply back then, I think. And I don't know, I started meditating, I guess, as a child. I don't know if I'd heard about it through my parents, because my parents are both kind of spiritual. But I would meditate a lot, and this golden man would appear to me in my mind's eye. And he was always loving and warm and no clothes, just a light man. I guess a light being would appear to me. I remember it clearly from grade 3 happening. And at that time at school, I'd made a friend in the grade below me, and I talked to her about it a lot, about this golden man, and I was able to, at some point, I don't know how I convinced these kids to do it, but I would create these meditation circles where we would all stand. I was just, you know, grade 3 kids, so how old is that, 7 or 8 years old? I would create these meditation circles where there would be a group of about 10 kids holding hands, and I would lead them into a meditation to see the golden man. And they would see the golden man. He'd appear in their mind's eye, and it would get very hot and intense emotionally, and a lot of them would end up absolutely bursting into tears, like absolutely this amazement and terror that they could see this incredible being appear, because he was like warm, warm golden light. It was beautiful. But there was no word spoken or anything like that. It was just a feeling. So I don't know how long I carried that on for, or if I did it past year 3, because I remember that friend that I'd gotten quite close to, her mum ended up saying that I couldn't be a friend anymore, and I think it's probably because she told her what was going on. This weird kid at school has been making me see this golden man, right? So that was a pretty disappointing time in my life. After that, I think I shut down for a while. My sister knew about those kinds of things. And then the other day we were talking about it, and she said to me, I think you were just a witch in primary school. You just somehow you knew how to do these things. And, you know, she remembers us kind of astral traveling through the house and things. She's like, we used to just decide to do this and we would astral travel. And so I don't know if I had a special ability as a child. I do believe that children are more open to things and can potentially invite things, whether good or bad, into their lives. I felt like the light man, light being, was a good entity. But, yeah, it doesn't end there. So after primary school, I obviously went to high school, And, you know, throughout my life I've had dreams of visitations and things as well, of greys and things, but no experiences in the waking period. You know, so most of my experiences have always been when I'm sleeping. But then one day I was with a friend of mine and we decided to go to the cliff near her house at sunset. As we often did, I was kind of staying at her house. I was about 16 or 17. I was staying at her house. Her mum had gone overseas. So I was living with her for a period while her mum was away, and just so she had a companion. And we took her dog and we went to this cliff right near her house in a town called Hazelbrook. So Hazelbrook's like mid-mountains. And it's a beautiful town. There's waterfalls there. There's glow worm cave near there, near this cliff. So we walked to the cliff, and to get to this little spot you had to go through some shrubbery, which was quite spiky and things, so you'd have to push through the shrubbery and you would get scratched if you weren't careful to get to the secret little cliff that we used to sit on. So we were sitting there at sunset and Sarah was to my left, and I'm sitting there on the cliff with her, and I don't know for how long, but the sun was setting. It wasn't dark yet. Time seemed to slow down. Something seemed to be holding us in this state. We weren't in a meditation or anything. I wasn't deliberately trying to calm. I mean, we were just having a conversation watching the sunset, and suddenly we weren't anymore. We were just sitting there, and we both felt this being between us. I couldn't turn my head to the left, but I could see on the edge of its body a silver light as it wrapped its arms, which were more like energy wings around us, almost angelic, but I don't think it was an angel. I think it was an extraterrestrial, wrapping its arms around us, but in an energy light way, saying, "It's okay, stay still," telepathically to us, "stay still, watch this, it's okay, you're safe. You know, we want you to see this." So we are looking directly ahead of us, and there was a, I used to call them power towers, not sure what they're called. They're those electrical towers that hold the wires. So on the opposite mountain to us, there was a being, a very tall being, probably about 10 feet tall, climbing the tower, gold from head to toe, golden light, beautiful golden light, pure, kind of almost scaling the tower with such ease and grace, almost like a liquid movement, but very physical, very like a solid masculine form, but no clothes, no genitalia that I could see or anything like that. It was just a body of light, beautiful light, but a humanoid figure. But obviously from the distance we were at, I mean, the fact that we could see them so clearly was really interesting and shocking, because they were not skin, they were light. While we're watching this being climb the tower, I was getting visuals of its face very close to me. So the face kept coming right up into my face, and I could see glistening eyes, almost not circular pupils and irises and things. It was more like a geometric kind of almost shape. And then it would flash back, because I was just getting like these waves of intense, you know. The thing about this experience is we were both getting the urge to run, and I think that's a very human reaction, is to run and scream. And, you know, it was terrifying but fascinating and beautiful. It was so such a range. I don't know if other people have had that experience before, where you feel like you're stuck but you want to see what you're looking at but you can't move. And then we also felt like we couldn't move because we were being held there by this being. And the whole time we're communicating with each other, going, you know, "Oh my God, what are we looking at?" And but we weren't using our mouths, it was telepathic, which we'd never done anything like that before. I don't know how that, you know, that maybe the beings were able to make us speak telepathically. And so we're watching this beautiful light being climb this tower, and there above to the left, so this is straight on, the tower straight on from us, and there to the left of the tower, probably I would say at like 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock to the tower, there is a craft that appears from somewhere. It just appeared. I didn't hear it come in. We didn't hear like a whooshing sound or anything like that. It just appeared there. And the craft was also movable. It was kind of morphing from a diamond shape to a curved diamond, almost a rounded edged diamond. And then it had light, like I could see some shiny light points around it, but it was very smooth. It wasn't like, you know, our lights, which are quite bright and intense. And it was just like this morphing light shape. And then the next thing I knew, the being, I think it had kind of disappeared or gone into the ship. That part's a little blurry for me. But then I was terrified. I was terrified, and I felt like the beings were watching from the ship. I didn't see the being like climb into the ship or get picked up into the craft or anything like that. But the next thing I saw was my body and my friend's body running through the bush, running. Like, I don't know where her dog had gone or anything like that. But I was above watching our bodies as we're running in terror through the bush. And then after that, somehow, I don't know what time it, how long it had been or anything like that, but we were standing by the road of her house where there's another tower in the grass area there. And the ship was on that side, hovering there, and we were standing at the end of the path, and her house is just like three houses down from that. And I felt like they were laughing at us in a kind of, not a mean or sinister way, but in a way that's like we were like children to them, in a way, not like we were cute, but like, oh, those children, you know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
totally. Like,
oh, they're just, they can't comprehend quite what they saw, and that was really fun playing with them. Like, it felt like that was fun for them, and they were kind of like totally cool with messing with us or something for God knows however long that time difference was. So, yeah, that's the main part of my experience. I mean, I saw when the ship was there, and Sarah and I were like probably shaking, absolutely scared. We were standing there in awe, I guess, as well. And then I saw she didn't see this, but I saw a light rain come down. So it wasn't a wet rain. It was a rain of light falling on us, and then the ship was gone. I didn't hear anything. It was just gone. And that being that had been holding us obviously had disappeared before I saw my body running through the bushes. So that was interesting. That was like a huge defining point in my teenage years, you know, trying to finish year 10, going through that. And then it was really full on and amazing. I mean, growing up, I always knew they existed, and because of my past experiences, and but then really seeing them that to that extent was crazy. And Sarah and I, like, we went back to her house, and from what I remember, the next couple of weeks were really, really, really sad. Like, I think we were quite lost. I don't think we ate much. But yeah, that mean the first thing I really remember is really enjoying a sandwich after ages. I felt like I'd been on a huge journey, and I was so hungry, like I hadn't eaten for ages. I remember that sensation, just feeling like, oh my God, this sandwich is the best thing I've ever eaten. I'm so grateful. We were exhausted. So that was interesting. So I don't know if they took us somewhere or something like that, but we were both very hungry.
How long do you estimate that you were gone? Well, how long do you think this experience took place?
The whole, like in the human world, yeah. In our world, I think it was probably less than an hour.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think definitely less than an hour, because I think we got there. I still remember the sky being a little pink.
Mm.
And and then it was kind of dark when we got to her house. I think I saw some stars.
Yeah. So, yeah, not a significant amount of time.
No, it wasn't a long time. It was still the same day, definitely the same day when we got back, but we were pretty dazed and confused for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, like the just the aftermath of that. But it is interesting, isn't it? Because with these experiences, people do often have that sense of missing time or even time kind of standing still where, you know, whatever does happen to you, it's like the physics and like the principles of time no longer exist, where a lot more can happen in such a short amount of time. Like, as you said, the thing of being starving or even just whatever did happen having quite an impact on the both of you, that you didn't feel normal for quite a period of time afterwards.
For years we haven't felt normal. Yeah, so that happened like 20-something years ago, and I think it really affected both of us socially and mentally for a long time. I think we felt very isolated. I remember us telling one friend and, you know, her being like, oh, don't go on about that again, you know. But we were just so, whenever we'd see each other, it was like we had the biggest connection. You know, if I bump into it today, it's this huge connection. We know exactly what we're thinking. And, you know, it's such a special thing to have experienced. But why it happened, I still don't know. Like, there's no definite answer for that, and that's something that I've actually really wished for, but I've dreamt of them since then a couple of times, which is interesting. I've had very strong dreams of them visiting again, but I still don't know. The like, were they just mucking around with us? Will they come back again? Are they old friends in another dimension? Am I like really good friends with them? I keep thinking that. I don't know what happened.
And you both remember the story exactly the same.
Sarah doesn't have, she doesn't have the energy light coming down.
Yeah.
And she probably remembers a couple of things that I don't remember. I do remember that afterwards, when we were really discussing what had happened, like the first time we discussed it fully, it's like we snapped out of something and layers of reality were coming to us, and then we were remembering, and then we spoke about it and we had no scratches on us, and that's something we kept going, why aren't we completely scratched, you know, because we were running through the bush. Those bushes were really spiky, and so it was something. And then we were like, what happened to the dog, you know, like where was your dog, like because there was a dog with us the whole time, and I don't know, it came home, it must have just ran alongside us or something like that, and wasn't barking or anything. So that was interesting. But in that house, like, there have been weird things around that place before, and I've experienced some other things. I think there's a high energy area for things. I've had dreams that huge ships hide in the mountain down that side by turning to their side and going down the side of the mountain and then blending in with the mountain in like a camouflage. I've had dreams of that happening.
Greetings, Paranormal Thoughts podcast listeners, and welcome to The Offerings. My presence as I come before you today is of no such importance. I am just a conduit, a front for something much greater. The purpose of these anonymous communions is for you to relinquish your true sinister accounts, to make an offering.
I heard someone mumble my name. It was so eerie.
And as it's getting closer to the back of our tent, everything around us just seemed to go silent.
You know, we never found out what the banging was. You know, was it someone trying to tell me we needed to look up in the crawl space?
Subscribe to The Offerings wherever you get your podcasts. It's coming. Let it in. Record your sinister accounts. Make an offering.
It is interesting because I've...
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I've read that people, I guess, have theorized that the mountains are either like a vortex or a portal or something. Like, it does seem like a very high energy area where I suppose these different realities do kind of cross over, you know? So it makes total sense that, yeah, you would have experienced very strange or even dreamt about these strange phenomena, because it does seem to be reported time again.
Yeah, I think there are quite a few people in the mountains who've had experiences. Yeah, the main dream I had of seeing one of these light beings again was quite beautiful. I was standing in a park and the man was in front of me, and he's 9 or 10 foot. He's quite tall. So I'm 165 centimetres. So when I could raise my hand up to his chest, I put my hand on his chest and I was doing a mantra. And I was doing this mantra at him, because I've been told this mantra kind of annihilates like negative energy. And I've done it in a dream once with greys and they all kind of disappeared. So I was doing once you do mantras enough, sometimes they stay with you and you can actually do them in your dreams. Like, I believe in dreaming awake and that you can control your dreams. So I was doing this mantra and I put my hand up on his chest and he just smiled, looked down at me, and he was surrounded by this beautiful rays of like energy light, but he just stayed there. He didn't disappear. So that was kind of an interesting dream I had. But that's the last time that I've seen them in that way. I might have dreamt about them. I've dreamt about other beings, but blue people as well. I've had a lot of dreams about blue people, having full-on conversations with them about the life, the universe and everything, and then waking up going, oh, I remember it. No, I don't. I don't remember the secret to anything. But, for me, the significance of this experience has been that we were awake. Mm. It was sitting there wide awake. We saw it with our own eyes. It wasn't just me. It was my friend. It has affected both of us so much. You know, I've got a diary somewhere from that era, that time. Sorry, the era of the 90s. my 90s diary. And it has it all written down, and I've got drawings, you know, drawings of them. And what I was saying before about going on the internet, so when that was really starting, you know, there was a few websites that popped up that had, you know, UFO encounters and, of course, you know, the ones in America, which are so famous. And then finally, after Googling light beings for a long time, an image of one popped up, and that's the face that I saw. That's very similar. It's this beautiful, you just see really above the torso, the head of the being, and it's just got light rays emanating out of it. And it's a very, you know, masculine, clear humanoid form, and it's beautiful. And that they're the beings. That's exactly who I've seen and who I feel like I know, maybe in another dimension. I don't know. Or maybe they're just mucking around with me because I'm an easy target. But, yeah, it's been a fun experience to have. I just would like to know why.
Yeah.
Sorry, what you're gonna say.
No, that is the biggest thing, isn't it? It's like,
yeah,
everyone having these experiences, and, you know, that's all well and good. You can only really speak to what you witness, but then it's like, yeah, why me? What is the purpose of it, you know? And I guess, yeah, I don't know, it's a lot to think about. And as you said, it's had like quite an effect on you, obviously, and your friend. And is there sort of ways in your life you can see that have affected since that experience that, I don't know, maybe you've gone on to be more spiritual, or, you know, can you see a direct correlation to that original experience in your now life?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I was a young child, we were religious for a little bit, and then Mum let go of that religion when she separated from my dad. But, you know, my parents are always into talking about, you know, the universe and everything and spirituality and things like that. And definitely in high school I felt, you know, akin with nature and things. I always loved being in the bush and really looking at trees, particularly in the leaves, and, you know, feeling connected with the universe and the energy around me. And so when I had this experience, it just opened my mind, you know, and remembering the experiences when I was in year three, bringing that meditation in with the golden man, just kind of, it made me really think more about interdimensional beings and that potentially they're all around us, and some of them choose to see us at certain times and maybe guide us in certain ways, and that potentially I'm somewhere else in, you know, another dimension. Especially I think when I get deja vu or I feel very connected to somebody or like I'm on the right path.
I like that when you went to research the light beings as well, you kind of got a similar, I mean, I guess other people have experienced a very similar thing to you with the energy, you know, because typically, yeah, light beings are very positive entities as well, unlike maybe your grey aliens and, you know, reptilians and so on. But it's I find that fascinating that without any prior knowledge because of the time and so on, when you've actually gone to look into this, people witness or, you know, have experienced the exact same kind of experience.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the first information I really found on it was that apparently they appear to you in a kind of gender or way that you are most comfortable with. So, I mean, they could be what people thought of as angels for a long time, or, you know, for me, feeling that comfort from a strong, like a tall, this tall man, I mean, maybe that's, they're apparently very tall, whether they come appear as a female or a male. There was a story of someone, I think over in the US or Canada, I can't remember, where they'd appeared as a group of women to this person in the forest. So I found that really interesting because these have all been male kind of entities. So for me. So yeah, I find that interesting. Are they then maybe, yeah, non-binary? I don't know. I don't know what they are exactly, but I feel like they are definitely interdimensional beings. They're more light than dense matter. And I think I read somewhere that they're fifth dimensional beings. So I don't exactly know what that means, but I found that really interesting. A couple of times I've stumbled on information in old books about, you know, just open randomly to a page and then, oh, light beings, you know, they're ascended masters or they're this or that. And, you know, I don't choose to follow any religion or anything like that, but I find it interesting when those little snippets of information and, you know, talking about religion and spirituality, I think there's definitely little things in a lot of these kind of beliefs that you can take, you know, information from, and maybe they've got some things right, you know. Well, there's clues in there about, yeah.
I think there's a lot of stuff that goes hand in hand, and you're mentioning that who's to say these weren't mistaken for angels, which I totally can align myself with. You know, I've talked about that theory that extraterrestrials are God in a sense, and for someone like myself who's very deep into this phenomena, it makes more sense to me, sort of that whole belief system that these higher intelligent beings, you know, probably interdimensional, have played a part in our existence and have probably showed themselves, as you mentioned, as these sort of angelic male or female kind of beings to make us feel comfortable. But yeah, they're not so much of a religious kind of scripture per se. Mm-hmm. And it makes total sense too, where, you know, why do some religions, you know, go down a certain path of one thing and then another? Because I guess it is just this phenomena showing itself to whatever makes people comfortable, whatever's, you know, going to make people believe or what kind of have you, you know. But I think that's a very interesting argument. And
I'm
very much so in that camp, in my opinion, because I don't know. I'm not religious by any means, but in saying that, you know, I find religion very fascinating, though, you know, I don't discredit it by any means, but I can start to, you know, when you hear about people, you know, experiencing miracles and so on, and I can kind of, you could say like, well, if these beings have, you know, this massive amount of energy and these like sort of healing abilities, I suppose, then who's not to say that they're the ones potentially behind some of these miracles, you know?
I think so. And I think to them, it's not that hard. I think they, from what I got from my experience, I think they have a good sense of humour, and they, some of them anyway, would find a lot of this fun. And, you know, they might not change the course of history by showing up to two teenage girls, but, you know, it's like ripples. One person sees them, one person tells the story, then it goes on and on. And if I make anyone else more aware with this little story of what could happen or what's out there, that's good. And, you know, I just think I just hope more people have more experiences. I really think it's time we all kind of knew what was really happening and what our minds are capable of. And, you know, these beings are pretty amazing. I feel super blessed to have had that experience. I know it may never happen again, but it's definitely opened my mind for sure. And spirituality is part of it, and I just practice in my own little way. But, you know, it makes me feel like it gives me hope, I think, especially, and this is kind of off topic a little, I guess, with death and everything like that. I feel like things will continue in an energetic way, however that is, because I think there's definitely more to life than what we just see with our three-dimensional physical plane of existence. So,
most definitely. And I go on about this so much, but how much all these topics within the paranormal are just so connected. You know, like here we are talking about you seeing this light extraterrestrial type being, and now here we are talking about, you know, I guess death and so on. But it's so true.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the same thing, I think, anyway. I mean, it just has to be it's just too much crossover. And I think that's where us as people, like, you know, as humans struggle, right? Because we like to put everything in a box and it's like, that's what this is, case closed, you know. But and I think that's with the paranormal, we just can't do that because there's just so much unknown. And I feel like us, you know, trying to label like this is extraterrestrial, so be it. I just don't think I don't think it's ever going to work that way. So,
yeah. I get upset that people think of so many of them so negatively. You think of all the humans on the planet and all the different types of personalities and all the different types of cultures, and, you know, there's good and bad all over the world, and, you know, there's going to be some really amazing extraterrestrials and some that are probably not so nice. And, you know, I just wish that we'd find out more about some of the potentially more helpful ones as well, you know. I don't think it's all scary. I don't think it has to be scary. No.
And there's that many accounts of people like yourself having quite a positive experience and others not so much. And that's the same thing. It's to say they're not the same experience by any means. You know, it's probably not even the same thing that's visited you, you know, but it's very easy. It all kind of, once again, gets lumped into, you know, like alien visitation, alien abduction, but it's like, hang on, there's probably a lot more going on here. But speaking about negative experiences, I'm curious to know, what have your grey alien visitations been like?
The grey buddies of mine. So it was a particular house that I lived in the lower mountains in Springwood again. That house was near some ponds and things. I don't know. It was near a little valley, and there was some intense energy around there and some negative energy in that little spot. Also some beautiful bushwalks around there and things, but there's definitely something weird going on. And I used to get visited by this little grey alien at night sometimes. I'd wake up and he would be carrying a box in my room. I wouldn't go into that paralysis, sleep paralysis, is that what it's called?
Yep.
I wouldn't go into that exactly when he was there, but I would be too scared to move in my bed. And I always call them he's, I don't know why. He was carrying a little box. It's about, I always describe it the same way, it's like a CD size cube, a CD size glowing cube that was able to move and morph in geometric kind of patterns, but predominantly in a cube shape. And he would just be busying himself in my room with this little cube. So he appeared a few times at that house, and that was that with him. One time I woke up with a being above my bed in the same room. It was just like a light glowing, almost like a giant jellyfish thing above my bed. That was a bit strange, but I don't think that was the same kind of alien, or that might have been a ghost, I don't know. There was a few things me and my sister saw, I think, in that house, then at the end of the bed and stuff as well. But, yeah, and then in Sydney when I was around 22, I lived in a house there, and I saw one coming through the wall at me one night when I was going to bed. I hadn't fallen asleep yet. And then when I did fall asleep, I had an intense dream that I was standing near an ocean, but with bush behind, like on the shore. And I was standing at the edge there, and a ship had landed, and every flash of light from the ship, one grey would appear, then more, then more, then more, then more, until there was about, 100 of them standing in front of me, and I was terrified. And the only thing I did this mantra, this Kadosh mantra. You can Google it. It's really easy mantra. It goes like this. Do you want me to tell you the mantra?
Please.
It goes like this. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sebeot. And it means holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. And it's a mantra. I think it's ancient Hebrew. I'm not sure. But it basically annihilates any negative energy. So if you're standing in front of something that is freaking you out, doing that mantra, it calms you down. Once my sister was staying in a little cabin in the middle of nowhere by herself, and she could hear heaps of rats in the ceiling, heaps, and she did the Kadosh mantra and they all scurried out of the house. So it's a great thing to do if you're scared or, uncertain in your life or anything like that. But I've gotten so used to doing it now that I'll do it in my dreams. And when I've done it in my dreams, whatever is freaking me out stops, disappears, goes away, explodes, whatever. So these experiences with Grace have been interesting. I when I moved to Katoomba, when I was in my 20s at some point, I think I was 25, I moved to Katoomba and I lived in a house there that was haunted. And I would see a lot of things in that house, orbs and things moving around my room, and beings appearing, like grey kind of beings appearing and things. And one day I just put up a huge golden bubble around the house. I just visualised this golden bubble that I didn't want to see anything anymore. And then that stopped. So now I still have that golden energy around me and my family all the time. So I don't know if that's meant that I haven't seen as much in the past however many years as I used to. Occasionally when I'm in a new house, I'll see something because, if I'm visiting a friend or something and I haven't done anything to that house where I've put an energy light around it, I'll see things or hear things or dream strange things or have a sleep paralysis dream where things are in the room with me, or be talking to a blue man, and But then I ultimately wake up and I know it's gone. So I'm not so scared, but yeah. But at my house, I don't have anything like that at the moment.
That's such an interesting insight that that could be why you don't have as much activity as you once did, because you have gone that extra measure to protect yourself.
I think because when I had kids and I had sleep paralysis with my daughter once in Sydney, in a house in Sydney, it was so terrifying. I was lying there in the bed with her and she was only two. We were visiting a friend who was house sitting, and I could hear beings all around me scurrying and making weird sounds, and I couldn't see them. And knowing my daughter was in the bed with me, I was terrified they would touch her. And all I kept thinking was, if you come near me, I'll scratch you. If you come near me, I'll scratch you. And eventually I was able to snap out of it. But I actually called my friend who was doing a night shift and said, please come back. I'm terrified. Like, I think there's somebody upstairs. Like, I've never been at that point where I'm like absolutely almost hyperventilating with fear. And, you know, because my little girl was involved. And, yeah, since around that time, I mean, that's when I was living at the house in Katoomba, and since around that time I was like, I have to protect my children. I can't, you know, obviously when I was younger, my mind was very open and I really need to keep that away from my kids, to that anything negative. I'm fine if, like, they got visited by a light being, that would be okay. But there's too many other weird things that can get in if you don't, you know, protect yourself a little bit. So somehow I've managed to do that with this golden bubble of light I've envisioned around my house.
That's amazing though. And yeah, it's just so interesting because someone like yourself who, like, I believe people are more susceptible to this kind of activity more so than others, you know, so you're taking precautions that, you know, maybe you are at more risk, you know, than someone else for this kind of activity, especially negative activity too, because I guess that's the thing as well, like, who's to say something isn't disguising itself as something else as well, you know? It's just things to be really wary about. No, well, thank you for sharing though. It's great that you're able to be so honest and open with us here this evening. I think a lot of people appreciate it and they get a lot out of it. So it's great for you to have done that with me.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it and it's nice to finally get this stuff off my shoulders and share it. And yeah, I hope people know that it doesn't always have to be so scary. You know, it can be really beautiful as well.
Well, there you go. There was Listener Paranormal Experiences Part 3. I love getting to talk to you guys, and this will definitely be a recurring segment. I mean, we've already done it 3 times now, but definitely if you have a story or you have an encounter or just something you want to bring up that you think is worth mentioning here on the podcast, hit me up on Facebook or Instagram, or you can email me at paranormalthoughtspodcast@gmail.com, and we can definitely get you on at some point in the near future. As I mentioned earlier, please make sure you're subscribed, share the podcast with anyone you feel might be interested. Both of these listeners, I feel like, came across Paranormal Thoughts from a friend recommending it, and even just it being recommended, and that's from you guys leaving reviews and, you know, spreading the word. It definitely helps more people find the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you really enjoyed that, and I look forward to seeing you in a podcast episode really soon. Thanks. Bye.